Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Coming up on today's show, the divisional round is set. We'll preview each of those four matchups and give you some early picks. Plus, we'll take a look at the Super Bowl odds for the eight teams and let you know who we like. And of course, you've got some Mox Locks coming your way for the NBA slate tonight. But first, we'll welcome in our friend from the Extra Points Podcast Network, Martin Weiss. Martin, how are you feeling? I love the shirt today.
Hey. Thank you. You know, a little purple rain prince, because it's the playoff, baby. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. Especially after Minnesota lost, this is kind of like in memory of the Vikings.
Okay, yes. RIP to the Vikings first round bounce out, which made me very happy, actually, because I was on the G-men in that game. I would say, how is everything in sunny California? But how is everything in the bomb cyclone California? Is that done yet?
I was about to say, it feels like the sun has not come out since Christmas, and it's terrible. It's cost entirely too much in rent to not be sunny out here. But life is good. Life is good. I went 6-0 straight up in the divisional round, 4-2 against the spread. So too hard to complain. Plus, this is the best weekend of the year coming up. Who's got time to go outside?
True. True. Inside on the couch. And on that note, let's get into Mock's thoughts. There are eight teams left in the hunt for the Lombardi, the best weekend in football, as you just said. Here are the odds for each of them to win the Super Bowl. Chiefs +310, Bills +350, my Niners +380, Eagles 525, Bengals 800, goes all the way down to the Jags at +3500. Which team do you like to win it all?
Well, I picked the 49ers and the Ravens at the start of the year and then switched it to the 49ers and the Bengals around week 7. So I'm sticking with the 49ers at this point. But I'll tell you this. I think the winner of the San Francisco-Dallas game is going to be the representative of for the NFC and the Super Bowl.
So the Niners.
I've been conflicted on it. We'll get to it later on. But I'll put it like this. I'm sticking with my Niners Super Bowl ticket. Me and Brock the Rock Purdy. Let's go.
Brock the Rock Purdy, Glock Purdy. I mean, he has so many good nicknames. And of course, I absolutely love this kid. Yeah, I'm going to pick the Niners for this one as well. And we talked about this in the pre-show about kind of playing with house money. The fact that the Niners are on their third string quarterback, and he actually happens to be the best quarterback of the bunch, and this offense has completely opened up and the defense is playing as good as they are. We're just excited over here in a faithful nation. But is there a Super Bowl future that you put in? It seems like it was Niners, Ravens. Then you went ahead and switched it to the Bengals. So we're riding hard with the
I took the Bengals back when they got their record right to 500. You know, they started out kind of slow. And I took the Bengals. I said, this offensive line looks like it's coming together a little bit. Okay. I see the vision. You know, so I bet on that. And then, actually, just last week, we were at a Extra Points Live Propapalooza in Vegas. We had people come, and we were doing live shows and had a live watch party for Week 18 and the college football playoff. And I went to Caesars Sportsbook, and I took out a future on the Dallas Cowboys. They had just lost to the Washington Commanders by a ton. Dak had thrown like 80 million interceptions. Zeke is running in quicksand. Who knows? Trayvon Diggs, he's not checking anybody. But I said, you know what, Katie? You know what I said? I looked at my guy, Cousin Sal, big Cowboys fan, and I said, you know what? If the Cowboys somehow beat, if they somehow are able to beat the worst team in the playoffs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they'll have the best quarterback left in the NFC besides Jalen Hurts. Seems like good math to me. So I took the Cowboys as well. So one of these will be dead by Monday, but those are my three futures that are still out there. 49ers, Cincinnati, and your Dallas Cowboys.
And buy Dallas Cowboys. Well, I will say the math is math in there. So I do think it was a good time to buy low, especially. Here's the thing. I was on the Bucks in the last game, and I was riding high on Tom Brady and the playoffs. And look, what we've seen from Tom Brady all season long should have told me how that game was going to go. But to your point, the week before, Dallas Cowboys looked completely uninspired against a third-string quarterback with the Commanders. And but now I think that there's no way that a team with a losing record should have ever had home field advantage in the playoffs. Like, what a joke that was. And Tom Brady, I hope he does retire, because he looked lost. Like, he didn't even know how to throw a football anymore. And yes, they made Dallas look really good, but was that because Dallas is really good or because the Bucks were so bad? There were so many holes in their defense and Tom Brady looked absolutely pedestrian. But again, we will get into that matchup a little bit later. I got the Niners, obviously, to win this. I have a future on the Niners to win the NFC. I got it at plus 750 right when they nabbed Christian McCaffrey. And of course, this is before Jimmy Garoppolo went down. My future that I put in before, so when the Niners first started this season, we had Trey Lance. I didn't have big hopes for the Niners this season. I thought, you know, we're going to have this kid that's a rookie. There's going to be some ups and downs. Hopefully we have a winning record, but I didn't have aspirations to go to the Super Bowl. I really thought this is the Bills' year. And even though they were the favorite, it was a little bit chalky. I was like, I'm going to lock in the Bills to win the Super Bowl. And I don't know how I feel about that one now with Josh Allen and all of his turnovers. You're big on the Bengals. Do you think that the Bills can still get there?
No. I don't.
Yeah.
I honestly, it's kind of taboo to say, but I think that they were cruising for a loss on that Monday night game that never got, that ended up being suspended.
Yeah.
So I think Buffalo was. I think this game would have been in Cincinnati otherwise. But just when you look, first of all, if Mike McDaniel can get a play call in time, or Skylar Thompson or somebody, one of these two rookies could just rise above the rookiness between Mike McDaniel and Skylar Thompson. We may be talking about looking at Skylar Thompson in this round as like, how do we stop Tyreek Hill if we're the Cincinnati Bengals? Because that thing came right down to the wire. I've heard some people say that that was like, you know, Georgia, Ohio State, they had a close game, and then Georgia came out and just dominated TCU. I heard some people say that this was Buffalo's Ohio State, so to say. I disagree. Mm-hmm. I think that this Buffalo team is far from perfect, and I think you see a lot of the flaws that came out in the postseason. They don't run the ball well. And then offensively, they turn the ball over a ton, okay? Offensively, and you see – just think about the two biggest quarterbacks who were turning the two biggest turnover quarterbacks in the last 5 years, so to say. It's probably Josh Allen and Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. Well, Josh Allen had a year or two where he wasn't doing that. He was at Brian Daboll. All of a sudden, now he's coaching Daniel Jones. Now Daniel Jones looks like, hey, I'm going to need that fifth-year extension. I'm going to need that new contract because I'm playing very well right now. Now you see Josh Allen throwing the ball all over the place. Defensively with the Bills, too, though, the thing that concerns me, Dane Jackson went down with a knee. It's the second time this year he's been down. Micah Hyde is trying to get back into the lineup. Jordan Poyer is playing hurt right now. They don't have the defensive backs to keep up with T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Ja'Marr Chase. And if the Bengals' offensive line keep them upright, I feel good about Cincinnati.
Well, the only thing that they lost, what, three O-linemen in that game versus the Ravens? I kind of felt like Burrow started playing better after those O-linemen went out because he started releasing the ball faster. He was like, I ain't got no protection. I got to get this out fast. So it was weird. I thought at first I was like, okay, we're going to be toast here because the Ravens defense was playing so well. But I did think that Burrow got a little bit better once he realized there was no protection for him whatsoever.
Ravens defense played well. I think that's also, too, third time they've played each other. They know each other very well. They know what each other likes to do. The thing that I think that we completely are overblowing the fact that Tyler Huntley played in that game. He was a game-time decision. So if you're Cincinnati, you're game-planning the entire time. Is it Tyler Huntley? Is it Anthony Brown? Is it Huntley? Is it Brown? And then, you know, you don't know who's getting first-team snaps in practice for Baltimore. So I think that's something that is difficult for teams to if you don't know who's going to be the starting quarterback, you got to prepare for both, which kind of means I feel like you don't prepare for either, you know?
Right.
So I think that's something that was overblown. And also the offensive line stuff, I think Capel will be back this week to guard. I think he'll play on Sunday. But this is pretty much the same offensive line that went to the Super Bowl last year. Now, Joe Burrow took a historic amount of sacks on the way there. It was
55, right? 55 sacks in one season. I don't know how this kid's going to play forever. He's not going to be Tom Brady at 45 playing this game if he still gets hit like this. And I don't understand why they don't invest heavier in their O-line. I know they tried you know, in the last season, it didn't really get anywhere. But before we move on to the next section, I do have to say, you know, you brought up Vegas and the Prop-a-Palooza. I had dinner with Megan last night. She's here in Stanford working on some WWE stuff. And she told me about a football on a roof. Is there something you want to tell us?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You know what? The problem is this rifle that I got attached to my right arm, you know, the outside, you know, saying they had us throwing. We had, so first of all, Eddie Spaghetti said that he could throw a football 50 yards from his knee. Now, the debate was whether it was 50 or 60 yards, but that devolved into a throwing competition between us and the entire Extra Points pod staff, everybody from the Megans, as you said, from Megan Fun of Sports, and Dave Damashek, Eddie Spaghetti, Mikey Meatballs, myself, Cousin Sal, everybody. So anyway, this is what happened, Katie. Yeah, you know, and you know, I learned in high school that I was going to be going pro in something other than sports, right? I learned that early on. DJ Augustine let me know on the basketball court that if, look, only one of us two was going pro, and it was going to be him. So my first throw, I had a good throw. I should have just let that be that. I probably would have finished in the top five. Right. And we're talking, there's some high school quarterbacks here. I was not one, you know, so, you know, this, I'm fading myself a little bit here in this competition. All right.
I was going to say.
So I thought the first one feels good. Throw the second one, forearms all over the place. Look, I mean, Blake Bortles style, just like I couldn't throw the ball away if I wanted to. Right. So then I go down. And I'm trying to help, you know, expedite the process because, as you can imagine, everybody's trying to throw the ball as far as they can. It has to get back, right? So I go back down, try to expedite the process. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm throwing them back pretty good. I was like, hang on a second.
You're trying to feel yourself,
I'm getting distance. So I don't remember whose turn it was, but I already had my turn. And I jumped in front of somebody else, intercepted the ball, and then threw it as far as I could. But in my head, it was like a real Uncle Rico moment. Like, I'm going to throw it over those mountains over there, you know? But what ended up happening was the place we were throwing had two buildings, maybe three stories high. They were like three stories high. And the alleyway was only maybe 15 yards wide. So I end up throwing it. I veer a little left. And the thing is still up there behind the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club, stuck on the roof of some office building. There's a Las Vegas Raiders football.
Your arm is just too strong. Your arm is just too strong. It just didn't know. Yeah, just didn't know what to do. It just said.
That's where I'm going with it. You know, I just needed, what I really needed was Brian Daboll in that moment. I needed Brian Daboll to coach me up and make me throw the ball straight, Martin. Throw the ball straight. Yes. That's the key.
Brian, if you're listening, the next Prop-a-Palooza, we need you out there. All right, let's take a quick break before we head into Capper's Corner. With Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, every bet earns with Caesars Rewards. That means whether you win or lose, you're always earning towards perks like free stays at iconic Caesars properties, game tickets, dining, and more. And if you haven't started yet, here's a reminder. Your first bet is on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code OMAHAFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it back as a free bet. Must be 21 or older, offer valid, and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit $1,250. Must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-522-4700.
1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW YORK or text HOPE-NEW YORK 467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Time now for Capper's Corner. Let's welcome back in Martin and talk divisional round. Some say it's the best weekend in football. Martin and I would agree. Couple storylines going into this weekend. It's a changing of the guard at quarterback. That is official. Every starting quarterback left in the playoff was born in the 1990s, which I don't even want to say how old I am, but I'm definitely born before the 1990s. Dak Prescott is the oldest quarterback left at 29. Patrick Mahomes is the only Super Bowl winning quarterback left. 3 of 8 just made their playoff debuts, and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are out. They are not in the playoffs. Another fun little trend, offensive coaches are in. 7 of the 8 remaining head coaches have offensive backgrounds. Sean McDermott is the only head coach who comes from a defensive background. And it's no surprise with offensive coaches left that the totals are high. The wild card round averaged 55.2 total points per game. It's the fourth highest scoring wild card round since it began in 1978. Martin, what do you think about these facts that I've just listed off for you?
Well, I just think it's interesting because I always take things like this because these are obviously the teams that have had the most success, at least most postseason success going forward. To hear all of the I see all these different offensive coaches. Everybody gets cycled in and out through the hiring process, right? Like Cliff Kingsbury and his one-way ticket to Thailand. Like, well, who knows when he'll be back, right? But
never.
The idea that Sean McDermott is the one guy who came from a defensive background and is also one of the guys who we've seen in this playoffs before, right? Like, you're talking about it's a changing of the guard. Well, the Bills have been here for the last 3 or 4 years. Makes me think maybe some of these team owners should look around at some of these defensive guys.
Yeah.
You know, DeMeco Ryan. I figure this. If everybody's got a cyborg at quarterback, then, and I don't, maybe it would probably be best to try to figure out how to stop some of these guys and maybe I could, you know, win some games.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think DeMeco Ryans should be one of the first people to get hired next season. So let's go ahead and take a look at these games, starting with the Jags and the Chiefs. It's the first playoff game between these two teams. Chiefs won 27-17 in November. Both teams are 7-1 since their Week 10 matchup, including the playoffs. Chiefs have won 6 straight games versus the Jags, but they have historically not been very good at covering, especially these larger spreads. But the Chiefs are looking to become the third team to advance in 5 straight conference championship games since 1970. That is wild. And I do feel like, I'm going to get your picks on this game, but I feel like people are overlooking the Chiefs because they're so good and it's Patrick Mahomes and he's a cyborg, as you just said, that everyone just assumes that they're going to be there. It's sexier to talk about the Bills and Josh Allen or the Bengals and Joe Burrow and some of these teams kind of on the come up. I don't know. I think people might be overlooking them. They're 8.5-point favorites in this game, -455 on the money line. Is this too many points, 8.5, to give the Chiefs?
I think so.
For the Chiefs to cover, rather. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I got you. I was tracking. I think so. I think the Chiefs probably win this game by 6. I see it being a one-possession game going in. The idea that – I mean, if nothing else, you know the Jaguars not going to lay down, right? I mean, in terms of and he's coming off of that second half last week, what they did and the ability. Trevor Lawrence is the type of guy. I mean, you and him, you see like similar hair products. And I mean, when you have hair like that, you know what I'm saying? When you have hair like that, you have to have a high level of confidence, right? Like you can't be going out there thinking, oh, no, I'm going to lose, even though I'm down 27 and nothing with flowing locks like that. You know what I mean? So. I expect the Jaguars to play well, honestly. Defensively, I think that they have you talk about people underrating the Chiefs, not talking about the Chiefs. Defensively, the Jaguars have the other Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker on the defensive line, and they were wreaking hell on Justin Herbert, a guy who rarely gets sacked, was seeing the ground a whole lot more than he's used to in that wild card game. So while I do not expect the Chiefs to lose, I do expect the Jaguars to give him a game. I think we'll be in for one in Arrowhead.
I couldn't agree with you more. Obviously, Andy Reid 4-0 playoff record versus his coaching tree, because we will say that Peterson came from the Reid coaching tree. That's interesting. Oh, yeah. Also, Chiefs 4-0 in playoffs with Patrick Mahomes. Even as seven plus point favorites. And when I look at somebody, first of all, going back to last, I had no idea that both Trevor Lawrence and the quarterback, Herbert, are 6'6". They're tall dudes. 6'6". And I will say that, I think the hair battle probably goes a little bit better for Trevor Lawrence there. But to overcome four interceptions in the first quarter alone, I have to tell you, I was on the Chargers in that game. Okay, I didn't do as well as you did in the wild card round. I was on the Chargers in that game, and I fell asleep at the half because I was like, you know what? This is good. We're good. You know, Trevor Lawrence doesn't have it. I thought he was going to possibly get pulled, because it's a very reasonable thing to say, okay, this quarterback has four picks just in the first quarter alone. Maybe we try Beathard. Maybe we try CJ Beathard. They didn't do that. And thank God they didn't do that, because then it was like, you know, a comeback for the ages. And I do think there's a lot for them to build off of. I don't think that they win this game, but I do think 8.5 is just too many points, especially because the Chiefs are not good at covering. They are 7-10 against the spread this season. They're also 3-5 against the spread at home. It's not even like they cover well at home. So I'm going to give this one to them. If I were looking, is there any players that you would kind of zero in on? I think that Travis Kelce could have a huge game. I think he's a nightmare matchup for the Jags. I mean, obviously Kelce's had the most incredible season that he's had. George Kittle kind of creeping up on him a little bit, but the Jags have allowed the third most receiving yards to the tight end position this year. So I feel like Kelce could potentially have a big game here. We do know that he's Patrick Mahomes' favorite target.
Well, you know, part of the reason why George Kittle, thank Brock Purdy for that. He's 13, loves throwing him the ball. I'd say, well, I'm looking at Evan Ingram in this matchup.
Oh,
he seemed to be for the Jaguars. He seemed to be down the stretch when they were coming back, kind of like, okay, this is the guy that Trevor Lawrence is going to when he needs to bucket. Like, if he needs third down, mm-hmm. he's finding mm-hmm. seven crossing the field. Seven is Zay Jones. He's finding Evan Ingram crossing the field, number 17, him out there.
A lot of
sevens, too many sevens. But, in terms of the Chiefs, you're absolutely right in your assessment that Travis Kelce is – Patrick Mahomes, security blanket, best friend, buddy, whatever you want to call it. There's times, Travis Kelce is on his knees and Mahomes will still throw him the ball. It's like, you know why? Because he's going to catch it. But in playoff matchups like this, I try to go away from the guys that we always know, because I figure like this. If I'm a defensive coordinator, that's the guy I would try to stop. What I'm saying? So I try to think about who's a secondary guy that is. I would look at Evan Ingram in terms of, I would only be looking at Jaguars offensive players though, because the Chiefs are so diversified. They're not picking who they throw the ball to unless it's Kelce, that I would look to Jaguars.
All right, so let's move on to the biggest NFC East matchup, the Giants, the G-men versus the Eagles. The Eagles swept the season series versus the Giants. However, it should be noted that the G-men rested their starters in week 18. New York has lost 9 straight trips to Philly, the last win 2013. The Eagles can become the first team ever to beat the Giants 3 times in one season. Sorry, Kirsten, our producer, listening to this. She is a Giants fan. Giants plus 285 on the money line. I kind of think they could squeak this one out. Eagles favored minus 7.5. This total is set to 48. How are you leaning with this one?
Oh, I'm not just leaning. I'm all the way 2 feet in, 10 toes down. We dove in from the deep end. Kirsten, don't you worry, my friend. The Giants are going to win this game. How about that?
Yes.
The Giants are going to win this game. Road dogs in the divisional round, in division, right? So obviously, NFC East, like you said, in the divisional round, 5-1 against the spread, 4-2 straight up. 4-2 Woo. Straight up. I saw the injury report. I heard that Jalen Hurts is off the injury report and practicing fully.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I also heard 3 weeks ago? Nick Sirianni told me that Jalen Hurts could shoot a basketball and swim and run a triathlon better than I could too. And that's why he's a different type of human. And then he came out in week 18, and you know what he looked? Hurt. He looked hurt.
Yeah.
And so he had 10 days off. But, you know, I don't know how good you get there. Lane Johnson's nicked up. Yeah, and I'm not – and then historically, only 64% of divisional round games, right? 7 to 11 point favorites went outright. Only 64% of 7 to 11 point favorites went outright. That's insanity. And you know, the whole world is going to be on Chiefs Eagles money line parlay. Chiefs 6 point teasers. This right here is what blows up everybody's teaser right here. Daniel Jones, the Vanilla Vic, and Saquon Barkley, Ryan Dayball. This is what happens right here. The Eagles go home. And it may sound shocking, but listen, every year it happens. Remember it happened last year in the NFC one seed? See you later, Aaron Rodgers. Go home.
I remember.
I bet you do. You, Kenny Moss, and Nick Bosa. Exactly.
Yes, and Nick Bosa. Oh, I agree with it. First of all, I love Giants plus 7.5. This game is going to be a lot closer than people think it's going to be. And I'm sprinkling a little bit on this money line as well. Brian Daboll is a dog, an absolute dog. And the Giants as underdogs, they're 8-1 straight up as playoff underdogs since 2007. And this year, just against the spread. Okay, fine. Maybe you're not like Martin and I, and you don't think that the Giants can win this game outright. You don't want to go money line. The Giants have the best cover rate in the NFL this season, 14-4 against the spread. 8-1 against the spread on the road. This is going to be a very close game. And I agree with you. I think that the Giants can pull off this win here. And I would love to see a Niners and Giants NFC championship game. And then, of course, you know, the Niners keep moving on from there. But agree with you 100%. Brian Daboll is a dog. And you can't count these guys out. They don't blow anyone out of the water, but they find ways to win. And Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes, Danny 77 rush yards. Now I don't think he gets that many, obviously, against this rush defense for the Eagles, like they did with the Vikings. But he's going to be moving and grooving. And I think we're going to see two very mobile quarterbacks. And I think that Daniel Jones might be just a little bit sneakier than even Jalen Hurts can be, because like you said, he looked hurt 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I'm majorly concerned for Philly with their injuries. Like Philly, they were the healthiest team in the NFL through 13 weeks, but it's a 17-week season.
You know, it's one of those things, and maybe just because I'm a Niners fan, so I'm biased, we're never healthy in the beginning of the season, and we kind of tend to lose a little bit. You don't want to burn out hot in the beginning of the season. You don't want to have the hottest record in the beginning and be the healthiest, because you know all that's going to come down to an end. I'd rather get hurt in the first half of the season and then start to get healthy when it matters and start winning when it matters, because, you know, the Niners have won, 11 in a row, 10 in a row, something crazy. But again, I digress. I'm totally biased here. Let's move on to the next game. Bengals versus Bills. Now, I kind of already feel like I know where you're leaning on this one. So the Week 17 game, as we discussed, was canceled after DeMar Hamlin collapsed on the field. Thank God he's doing so much better. So both of these teams can just fully focus on getting into championship weekend. It's the first ever official meeting now between Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. It's their third meeting in the playoff history and the first playoff meeting since the 1988 AFC championship game where the Bengals won 21-10. Both teams enter on a win streak, 8-plus games. Bengals have 9, Bills have 8. And when you look at these two quarterbacks, I mean, they're both studs. They're both 26 years old. They both have 4 career playoff wins, and both quarterbacks snapped franchise droughts of 20-plus years without a playoff win. I already know which way you're going on this one. You like the Bengals to win outright, or you like them plus the 5?
I'm liking the win outright, but I'm definitely taking them plus the +5. Joe Burrow in his last 25 starts, they didn't cover last week. So this is off the top of my head, I think 22-3 against the spread in his last 25 starts. I don't know about you, Katie. I'm not getting away of that train. I'm not going to get in the way of that train and figure like I'm going to be the one to stop it. You know, I'm going to go ahead and just hop on and just ride it as long as it goes. That's what, so I'm going to ride. So I'm definitely taking the points here. But like I said, to me, this comes down to I think the Bengals defense. I mean, I think the Bengals defense in the way that Josh Allen's been playing recently, I think you have a real question whether or not this is the Josh Allen we've seen over the first 2 years of his career, where it was really up and down, real roller coaster, real, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, the highest of the highs, but the lowest of the lows. It's like from Everest to Death Valley over there. Sometimes when it's bad, it's bad with Josh Allen. So, I was not impressed with him against the Dolphins. And especially their offense, they don't have anybody to run the ball with really to take any pressure off of Josh Allen. And then Katie, I don't know if Ken Dorsey is aware of this, but football, you only got to get 10 yards in four plays to then get four more plays to get 10 more yards, right?
Oh,
I mean,
that works.
I know we know. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we just need to have to sit down and talk with Ken Dorsey because the amount of times they just were chucking it deep, 40, 50 yards in the air was, you know, hey guys, you can get 4 yards of play and get a first down. That's the way this whole thing is set up. So, I don't know.
When you got a quarterback that's turning the ball over that much, why are you going for the deep ball that many times? So I agree with you on that. I don't know what to do with this spread. I got a futures ticket on the Bills, so that clouds my judgment a little bit here. I also think that Joe Burrow, again, total stud, and it's hard to bet against him. I will say Bills, they're 13-1 at home in playoff games since 1996. That was their first loss and only loss. Josh Allen 4-0 in career home playoff games. But I'm leaning on the over in this one, the over 48. Both of these offenses rank top 7 in total passing offense. And a lot of people were on the under last week with the Bills and the Dolphins, thinking that the Dolphins weren't going to be able to do anything. It was 34-31. One, I think that Josh Allen is going to turn the ball over a lot, and you don't want to do that when you've got someone like Joe Burrow and all of his weapons, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon, whoever it is, to get there and score points on the board. And we do know that the Bills are able to put points up on the board, even when they're turning it over, even when they're doing all of these things. So at 48, I think this game could be a 52, a 53. So I like the over.
I definitely think there'll be fireworks going off in this game. It's interesting, though. Who do you think has more motivation? As DeMar Hamlin, I think, is probably going to be in the stadium. And the Bengals, you may remember week 18, they're doing coin flip celebrations. They're all salty because, you know, I don't disagree. I think they would have took care of the Bills on that Monday night, and they would be hosting a home game right now. So the Bengals very much have a us against the world mentality as well right now.
Yeah. Well, I think all the pressure is on the Bills. One, they were the favorite all season long. Two, it's like you said, DeMar Hamlin's probably going to be there. They got to feel like they got to come out and win for him and keep this moving. All of the pressure is solely on the Bills here. The Bengals are like, hey, we're just going to go out and play our game and have fun. And that's always the side that you want to be on. So I feel like I like the Bengals plus the +5. I don't know that they win outright. Again, I'm totally clouded because I've got a futures ticket on the Bills here. If Josh Allen plays smart and doesn't turn the ball over, which is asking a lot, I don't know that he can do it, then the Bills win this game. If Josh Allen turns the ball over against a quarterback like Joe Burrow, it's going to get away from them. That's what I think.
You know, and if I worked out every day, I'd have a six-pack. But I don't. So
I don't. Same. Okay. Now for the most important game, the 49ers and the Cowboys. This is the 9th playoff meeting between these teams. The 49ers won 23-17 at Cowboys Stadium last year in the wild card round. They are tied for the most common
slide heard around the world.
The slide heard around the world. And then also, when he was draining the clock and he just let the clock run out too. Like, what What were they thinking? It was hilarious. And the Cowboys fans crying. I love it when the Cowboys fans cry in the stands. Sorry to Owen, who is our social media producer on this. This is the most common playoff matchup in NFL history. Rams, Cowboys, 49ers, Packers also have met 9 times. So much history here. Both teams rank top 5 all time in playoff wins, conference title games, and Super Bowl titles. We're all tied out at 5, but I will say the Cowboys lost 6 straight games in the divisional round, the longest streak by any team since 1970, since the merger. How do you feel about this game? The Niners are favored -4. This spread's been kind of up and down. Open at 4.5. It was down as low as 3.5. Now it's 4, over under 46. It's tighter than my personal. This is tighter than it should be. I think because the Cowboys played so well last week against a crappy Bucks team, this should be Niners minus a touchdown as far as I'm concerned. What do you think?
I agree. And the line feels fishy. I'll tell you a quick story. I'm in a pool with my cousin and a bunch of his friends. 30 entries in this pool, all right? Mm-hmm. I put in 2. After the first round, 4 of the 30 entries are still perfect. I have 2 of them. Ooh. I only differ on 1 game, the whole playoffs, and it's this one right here. It's this one right here. Sitting back when I was filling out the bracket, I was like, all right, hold on a second, man. All right. You've been locked in on the Niners since week 1 through Trey Lance in the monsoon, through Jimmy G's foot, through the trade deadline for Christian McCaffrey, through some guy named Brock Purdy, right? And it's like, and all they do is they just keep winning. They just keep winning. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They'll beat you high. Mm-hmm. They'll beat you low. East, west, north, south, don't matter where you are, whatever. The Niners only beat you. They'll beat you next week. Because no team, they didn't even win the week after they played the Niners.
Yes. But you seem to, I feel like you're leaning Cowboys here.
No, I'm still here. I'm going to go bang, bang, Niners gang still. I'm still here
with us? Okay.
But good. If there was ever a time to jump off the ship, I feel like it's now.
You've been riding with us so long, to your point, and you have not jumped ship. You can't do it now. You can't do it now. First of all, we need you. Yeah.
That's what I said. The thing that concerns me is, all right, so the 49ers are essentially, and this is not offensive. This is how I graduated from college. They're a group project, all right? And Brock Purdy, all he got to do is show up to class on time and put his name on the top. That's it.
Yep.
George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Debo, Ufunga, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner. They are the ones who are going to bring home the A for the class. All right, Brock Purdy, you just stay there, smile, nod, and when the teacher asks, what did you do, have a good, solid sentence response for what you did on the project, right? Like 18 for 30. That's a good, solid sentence response. No interceptions, right? That's right. No fumbles. Here's the thing that concerns me. Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the tweet. No, seriously, though. I get Trent Williams. If they can't block Micah Parsons, to me, he is the single biggest defensive game wrecker in the league right now when he's at his top. Like, I know he's not the best pass rusher, but when he is at the top of his game, he is, to me, the most disruptive. Like, I watched Nick Bosa, and I saw him push Colton Miller all the way in the back of Jared Stidham and force the interception. But how many times you see on the other side of Micah Parsons, the left tackle is just jumping off sides or false starting because it's like, I can't keep up with this guy. So, depending on what the strategy is for Micah Parsons, that gives me cause for concern because I don't want anything to be difficult for Brock Purdy whatsoever. And Kyle Shanahan has done a great job of not making it hard for him so far. But again, Micah Parsons is different.
Micah Parsons is different. I will say I could send you if you want some clips of Debo Samuel absolutely cooking Micah Parsons last year in this very same matchup, or actually I guess in the wild card round. Micah Parsons is better this year than he was last year, and I do think that it's this game is going to be won in the trenches, right? Because these are two pretty good defenses. Certainly that, you know, the fronts of both of these teams. And watching what Bosa and also Micah Parsons do is going to be very interesting. And to your point, very telling to how this game goes. Both Bosa and Parsons lead the NFL with 90 pressures during that. 90 pressures. That's crazy. 90. That's both insane. Of them have 90 pressures. So it's going to be crazy. I will say that the Cowboys O-line versus the Niners pass rush is a little bit more concerning to me because, you know, last year we were able to get to Dak Prescott 5 times. He got sacked 5 times in that game and they only blitzed him or low amount, just less than 20% of the time. So I don't know. Your thing about Brock Purdy, and I agree with you, but let me just tell you a timeline of Brock Purdy, right? So Jimmy Garoppolo goes down. We're all sad. We're like, okay, the run is over. I don't know who this kid is. I actually saw him play in Iowa State, and I even forgot that I had seen him play at Iowa State. But then he comes in. You're like, oh, okay, Purdy. And you think, okay, well, he just out-dueled Tua, but maybe this is just adrenaline coming into the game. And next week he's got to go up against Tom Brady and this Bucks pass rush that used to be very good and, you know, hasn't been so much. And you're like, okay. And then all of a sudden he goes from Mr. Irrelevant to a goat slayer and he wins at home multiple passing touchdowns. And then you're like, all right, then this kid's got to go to Seattle and he's got to go to one of the loudest and rowdiest buildings in the NFL up against the 12th man in a rivalry that's just neck and neck. These teams hate each other. He goes in, he has multiple passing touchdowns in Seattle, in the hardest place to play. And the kid doesn't even break a sweat. In the first playoff game, in the first half, you thought, okay, there's a little bit of rookie in there. There's finally a little bit of nerves. But then he comes out in the second half. And I will say the 49ers, even if they get down in this first half, I don't know what D'Amico Ryan says, what Shanahan says. They come out a different team in the second half of the game. That's both offense and defense. And I will say that I don't remember who it was, what Abrams that went and twisted Deebo Samuel's ankle there. Yeah. And it just fired everybody up. I can see Micah Parsons doing something stupid that's going to fire everybody up. And that is a team that you do not want to get angry. And I think Niners by a touchdown. That's my bold prediction.
I like it. I think the line should be like 6.5. Yeah. The thing that I liked about the first half in Seattle, you've watched all, I imagine, of the Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo playoff run, right?
Yep.
He called more pass plays, more five-step drop, seven-step drop pass plays in the first half of that game than I remember seemingly in a whole playoff run with Jimmy G. I felt that. Yep. In the first half there, he was really trying to be like, all right, look, we may need this guy at some point to make a big throw. Like in the same way you needed Jimmy G to make that throw to Emmanuel Sanders in the Super Bowl, right? And then maybe you have a ring there instead of Mahomes.
You got to bring that up. Yeah.
Well, I say this to say, I think Shanahan may have learned his lesson, right? And he's like, look, we're going to come out here. We'll throw the ball 20 times in the first half. And we're going to look by hook or by crook. You're going to see what it's like to be in the playoffs, to spin it out here. And, you know, the first couple passes, it was, you know, good night, Irene. That thing looked ugly. But after that, you know, it was like he started to find his rhythm, started to find his groove and started to, you know, get loose with it. You know, it started to get real comfortable. And I think they had the leeway to do it with Seattle. I think it's going to help them a lot this week.
I agree. And I will say, you kind of alluded to this earlier about the NFC East matchup between the Giants and the Eagles. These divisional matchups are always going to be tighter and harder than other games because the teams are built to play each other. They're built to beat each other. And they have a lot of history and they've game planned for each other a lot. It opens up a little bit more, I think, when you get outside of the actual division. But I agree with what you said about Kyle Shanahan. And I do think that Kyle Shanahan learned his lesson even towards the end of Jimmy Garoppolo this season. He was letting Jimmy throw it more than he ever had. He would try to run. It would get stopped. And then all of a sudden he started letting Jimmy air it out a little bit. And then the offense opened out. So I think that started with Jimmy Garoppolo. But I do think that Brock Purdy, and I hate to say this because I'm a big Jimmy Garoppolo girl, is better than Jimmy Garoppolo is. I think that this offense opens up and he's not scared. Jimmy Garoppolo was always a little bit scared, always a little bit timid. He kind of waited. He hesitated. This Brock Purdy kid doesn't hesitate at all. So I do think that the offense runs better with Brock Purdy. Part of that is Kyle Shanahan has learned his lesson and is letting him throw. And then also he just trusts Brock Purdy and Brock has earned that trust in a very short amount of time. But this is going to be an extremely stressful game for me and for you since you've got some futures tickets on it.
Well, I can only lose, right? I got one of the Cowboys, I got one of the Niners. So I can only, but I am looking forward to a game in which I don't have like a sick vested interest. Like I'm over here, I'll be the biggest Jaguars fan ever if they're somehow able to beat the Chiefs, because I'm pretty sure I'll win the pool entirely if either the Chiefs or Eagles lose in this weekend.
The Chiefs aren't losing. That I can't. But the Eagles, I think possible. All right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's move on from football and let's talk association. What is a bet or a mox lock that you like for the NBA slate tonight?
I'm taking Luka Doncic over 18 rebounds and assists. I think he gets a triple-double tonight against his the team that did not draft him, the Atlanta Hawks, or drafted him and traded him or whatever. You know, as we saw in The Last Dance, high-level basketball players find these – silly things to motivate themselves over throughout the course of the 82 game season. I think this is where you're at right here. He's had 20 rebounds and assists in his last 10 games. So I think it's a good play. And also, let me not step on my other one. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, like, triple double is definitely in play. Rebounds and assists, definitely in play. And I also, the next bet that I have is the Mavericks 3.5 on the money line. I mean, against the spread, against the Hawks.
Yep.
Again, same, it's all the same. I mean, it's basically, essentially, I'm putting all my money on a Wednesday and I'm putting it on Luka Doncic. Why not?
Why not? First of all, he's having an MVP level career season this year, and he's just been so hot and so great. I love those bets. I'm taking the Nuggets -8 versus the Timberwolves. This is a large spread, especially because the T-Wolves have been pretty hot. They've won 6 of their last 8 games. However, they're dealing with so many injuries, especially to their star players. You got Carl Anthony Towns. He's still sidelined with that calf strain. And then you got Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert dealing with some injuries themselves. They're both questionable tonight. I kind of don't think that Gobert is going to play. And I think that this line is going to balloon up. So it's a good part to get them now. And you look at people who have been on a tear. How about the Joker? He has recorded 4 triple-doubles in his last 5 games. Nuggets have been on fire at home. They have a league best 20-3 at home this season. So give me the Nuggets -8. I definitely think they're going to cover tonight. And then I'm taking the Knicks -3.5 in the first half only versus the Wizards. So the Knicks have been losing at home this season. They're 11-12, and they're even worse at home against the spread, 8-13-2. However, they have the best against the spread record in the first half in the entire league. They are 31-11 in the first half, and they're 17-1 against the spread at home in the first half. Never bet the Knicks in the second half. They will always fall apart in the fourth quarter. Bet them in the first half. Thank me later. It always covers.
Yeah, I know this. Jalen Brunson has been playing awesome this season. Speaking of guys that former Mavericks, Luka could use him tonight.
Luka could use him tonight. All right, Martin, thank you so much for joining us. Let the people know where to find you, both your podcast and your shows. I know you got some radio, you got some podcasts, you got everything going on.
Yeah, so I'm Extra Points Podcast with Cousin Sal and Dave Damashek, the Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast with former NFL vet Will Blackman. And then on Saturdays, 7 to 10 Eastern, I'm on Fox Sports Radio. So flip it on while you're you get sick of the announcers, flip me on, you know what I'm saying? We'll be out there. We'll talk about the game. You should have heard it last week. My co-host was like, the Chargers are done. I mean, the Jaguars are done. They're done. They're done. And I was like, you know what? The Chargers are leaving points on the board. They're leaving the door open for the Jaguars. And I, you know what I did live. I said this, Katie Mox. I said, you know what? Bet it now. The Jaguars to win this game down 27-7, 11-1. If you're listening to me on Fox Sports Radio, you cash the ticket.
If you like winning tickets, then tune in to Fox Sports Radio with our guy, Martin Weiss. Martin, thank you so much for joining us. This has been Moxie Bets presented by Caesars Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social @MoxieBets. We'll see you next time.